Welcome to the God is a Geek podcast. My name's Adam Cook and I'm your host this week, joined by the one, the only. Well, actually, I can't say the only because I actually do know another man with exactly the same name, but that doesn't diminish his qualities, or indeed this person's qualities. Gary Bailey, how are you?
I'm okay, thank you.
How's that bombshell treating you, by the way? Because I've never mentioned this to you before, I don't think.
No. I mean, like a literal Gary Bailey, you know.
Gary Bailey is his exact name, yeah.
Wow. Yeah. And to be fair, I suppose it's not exactly an uncommon name, really, is it?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know many Adams, I'll be honest with you. I know a lot of Garys, or Gazzes, but I don't know many Adams. Like, do you know many Adams?
No, not that many.
You're the only Adam in the world, is what you're supposed to say there.
I'm not that smooth.
No, it's fine. It's fine. And before we get started, I want to point out that obviously normally Patreon members get this podcast early and extended, and just recently we've been a bit lax on the extended front, and I do apologize for that, but there's a damn good reason for it. We're running really hot with these podcasts. Like, we normally pre-record them, but they've been kind of on the money. Because we're trying to do our Game of the Year planning, we those who don't know, we have usually 5 podcasts during a week, loads of different awards, which all are worked out live on air, live to tape sort of thing. That isn't the reason this week's late. The reason this week's late is because I was in a car crash, and that kind of threw everything up in the air. I'm not going to moan on about it or go into details. Suffice to say, everyone involved is okay. Well, apart from the cars. The cars aren't okay, but cars aren't people, Gary, are they?
No, they're not. No.
But so, you know,
as much
not,
as Disney wants us to believe they are, they're not.
Oh, mate. Now you've just given me the image of my little car. Well, it's not that little. My car crying. Like, going, why? Why did that happen? I don't know, mate. I was just driving you, you know. But
it does seem a bit harsh, thinking of it that way now.
Let's stick with cars. Let's stick with cars, right? Because in the game you've been playing this week, you can ride cars through tornadoes.
Yes.
Just Cause 4 is... Well, it's out now.
That was a good segue.
It was accidental, I'm not going to lie. No, but it's worked. I'm going to pretend it was real.
It was subtle and it worked.
Mm.
I mean, not so subtle now that I'm calling it out, but...
Now we've made a big fuss about it. Like, obviously, it just seems like another...
But as I said, I'm not smooth, so there we go.
that was made abundantly clear.
Yep.
When you said it.
But
how is it?
It's a very good game. I have to sort of say, like, full disclosure, I'm not really a Just Cause person. So, like, I never
well,
even...
nobody seems to be. Everyone's like, yeah, they're good, but I don't know. I'm going to say this. I feel like this one's arrived with no fanfare.
Exactly. I think that's it, because it's like, they showed it... Was it originally at E3 they showed it, or did they show it before that?
I think
that?
So.
But, yeah.
I mean, they have been putting loads of trailers out. There's been lots of trailers for this game, but I just feel like there's no fanfare around it, no hype built around it for some reason.
Which is weird, because when they've been showing it, it looks... like ridiculous. It looked so much fun.
Was it the Xbox, the XO18, where they showed that trailer, or was it before where it was like, it just like, oh wow, that looks the business.
I think it was just before, but yeah, that was a spectacular trailer.
Mm.
To the point where I think I might have even said it. I was like, this makes me want to play the game.
Yeah, same. And I mean, I already did, but that was like the clincher.
Yeah, but it's so much fun. I mean, it's one of those weird things where, because normally in games, stuff like the tornado and that is just, it's a scripted event, isn't it? It's
right.
Like, but this, it's not.
Okay.
There are kind of like scripted missions where, you know, you've got to do like stuff in storms or the tornado and stuff like that. But
so is it just the tornadoes just kind of tearing around the island? Like,
they're
just one tornado, like, you know what I mean?
It's kind of set in specific areas. Because essentially the whole thing is this dude has this weapon that essentially can manipulate the weather. We'll just gloss over that. There's like different parts of the island has got specific parts of this weapon. Like, one is the tornado side of it. One that generates the tornadoes, one that generates the storms, one that generates sandstorms. And like the sort of the center can bring them all in together, and the idea is you're taking out each part at a time, but to do so you've got to ride through the storms and whatever. And when you go into each area, that's when they can start, because the first one I went into was, it's all like these big electric storms, and when they hit, they are devastating. You like the whole sky goes black and you've got lightning coming down. It's, you know, in Zelda when you've got the whole thing in Breath of the Wild, when you had that whole thing of, you know, if you're going to get hit by lightning, you're screwed kind of thing. It's a bit like that.
Right.
But
I guess in this game, you can't drop your metal sword.
Because no, it's all about you having to move quickly and staying low. So it's like, you know, you have to use your grapple a lot to move around quickly.
Is that still fun? Because one of the most... you know, like, I want to liken it to Spider-Man, this year's Spider-Man. You kind of... I think in that game, the reason, like, you know, we talked about this in the pod, the reason fast travel is not something you bother with is because actually just getting around, it's not a huge world, and getting around is just always fun.
Yeah.
And the thing about Just Cause 3 was, in a similar way, it's just fun to, like, shoot your grapple, fly up in the air, throw the parachute out, you know.
Yeah.
It was just fun to do it, that. Is that is, still the case?
It's still fun. I'd just say that I think... Whereas Spider-Man had that nice sort of smaller world, Just Cause, the island is massive.
Yeah, 3 was too.
Yeah.
Sorry, 3 was big too. Yeah. And it... It's difficult, right? Because I feel some games are too big for their own good.
Yeah.
And it's the question I would love the director to sort of turn back to his team and say... Or maybe his team turn to him and say... Does it need to be this? Does it make the game better or worse, or does it do neither by making it this big? In other words, can we scale it back, make it tighter, and the game could actually be better?
Yeah, I think that's it. Cause it's, I mean, it's great fun, but yeah, there are times where it's like, all right, I've got to get to the other end of the island, or like another part of this part, and I'm like, it's going to take a while. You can fast travel, but only to certain points that you've already been to.
Okay. I mean, that sort of makes sense. I can understand that.
But you can only do that a certain amount of times, because it's like you have a limited number of pilots that will drop you off.
I think it did that in 3. There was a thing similar in 3, actually.
Yeah, they had like a cooldown period.
Yeah, like there was fast travel, but it wasn't hugely limited, but there was definitely something funny about it.
Yeah,
I think it was the same thing.
It's not like too limiting, because you're not fast traveling again and again and again. You know, it's pretty much right. I need to go there, so I'll fast travel to this point and, you know, drive the rest or fly the rest, whatever. So it's not a big deal, but it's just sometimes you're like, oh, but the nearest point is still quite a distance away, you know what I mean? It's like, right, so it's gonna take a little while, but it is fun when you start grappling, and like you grapple just right so that you can just jump straight into the wingsuit.
Yeah,
you find like a rhythm of using the grapple, parachute and wingsuit to sort of move
right.
at a steady clip, and it is cool when you're doing that. But when there's a tornado nearby, that's when you start to shit yourself a little bit.
Yeah.
Because it does pull you in, and it pulls in everything. Like, I've seen, like, massive... You know, I forget what they're called, but it's like a big globular reactor kind of thing. That normally, if you shoot them, they explode. But they'll drag
that like
up in...
Not like the cylindrical silos things.
Yeah, you've got those as well. And they just get pulled up into the tornado.
So what happens if you then grapple to them?
Oh, you're dead. You're dead.
Oh,
if
you die in the tornado.
Yeah, you can. I mean, you don't instantly die. You can die.
Can you not use? Because a tornado, I kind of figured you could. I'm envisioning, like, right, I can just get to the bottom and wingsuit up to the top of this and have like mad air. Because one of the challenging things about Just Cause 3 was, although it was fun to do all the sort of combo grappling and moving and staying in the air, it wasn't actually easy. It was quite a challenge to stay in the air and like try and get like the longest distance without hitting the ground. And I was thinking maybe you could use the tornado to get up high and then just like cane it around the island.
It does that to a point, but it's sort of like, but it's dragging you in and you have to kind of watch yourself.
I suppose, how would you get back out? Like,
yeah, and it was cool. Like, I wrote about this in the review where it's a point where I was being chased by two... like jet fighters. I forget what they were actually called, the designation, whatever. And I was in an attack chopper, and I was trying to lead them into the tornado, but I was getting pulled in as well, and it's just, it's quite tense.
So, I mean, this is it's weird to ask you this, because by the time people hear this, I will have played the game, but I can't travel in time, so I haven't played it yet. Could you, in theory, whatever vehicle someone was in, grapple them, grapple to them, then grapple that tether to, like, a silo in the tornado, and it would just drag them into it?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Could you have started flying your helicopter towards the tornado, jumped out, grappled them to the jet,
You've got stuff like
that. Sounds amazing.
Because you've got like customization on your grapple as well, and you can use stuff like putting jet boosters onto things, and what was it like the Fulton balloons that are in Metal Gear?
Metal Gear.
You've got them as well, so you can lift things up. In theory, you
is there a collection mechanic around that, or is it just to get people up in the air and mess with them?
No, it is. I didn't notice anything beyond just being able to lift stuff.
Okay.
But because you can put multiple things, multiple ones onto heavier items, you can lift quite a lot of things. So in theory, you could use that to get them airborne with the balloon, hit them with a couple of thrusters and just send them flying into a tornado.
Gotcha.
I'd be honest though, I think as much as I love the tornado, I think the storms were more fun, just purely because of how explosive they are, because it takes out, and like if you get helicopters coming after you, they just get destroyed. They just get hit by lightning and they just explode. You've got helicopters falling out of the sky. It's amazing.
That's pretty cool.
It's very fun.
Because the one thing the gunplay always reminded me of, and admittedly, like, really the idea is to, you know, obviously you use your weapons, but the idea was kind of to set up the wanton destruction with your tools rather than your actual weaponry.
Yeah.
But the game that Just Cause 3 specifically, and well, I mean generally this series, but 3 started to make me really reminded me of Crackdown, only obviously not in a kind of cityscape, in a more, you know, I guess open environment, in a more jungly kind of island-based place. You know, is it still that?
Yeah, because the gunplay is not that amazing, but it's just
still have that lock-on. Basically, you lock on, shoot, and it kind of does it for you, but you have to.
I found I had to do a lot more aiming. It does lock a little bit, you know, when you first, but kind of like the old Call of Duty style, you know.
I think it has to, just because of how much movement's involved in the game. Like, you could just be running around shooting. You kind of want to be up in the air and grappling around and
it's constantly
target.
Throwing new weapons at you as well, though. So you've always got
kind of Sunset Overdrive-y.
I'd love to say but I've not
played it. Have you?
It's one of those ones that's just added to the pile, and it will eventually get played. It was, you know, I got it for free on Xbox, so at some point I can download it and play it. But I do want to just keep playing Just Cause, just to see what kind of destruction I can get up to, you know, because I think a lot of the fun, like a lot of games at the minute, is kind of like making your own fun in between the missions and stuff, and you can make an awful lot of fun, because it doesn't take much to get like the Black Hand to come after you, and when they do, it's difficult to get rid of them. So if you really want to just start a fight, it's very simple, and you'll be in that fight for a while.
I remember having a similar thought about Saints Row. So I wonder, and Saints Row went away and hasn't come back, actually.
Yeah.
Well, we got Agents of Mayhem, which is obviously the same studio, but, moving on. I wonder, Just Cause 3, I kind of felt the same way I did about Saints Row 3. It's like, where did they go next? What on earth can they possibly do?
Yeah.
And they did one more game. And with Saints Row 4, that's the one where you're the president, isn't it? Or was that 3?
Yes,
I can't remember now.
Yeah, that was
4. Yeah, of course
it
was.
Yeah, that was 4, yeah.
Yeah, and it just went mad. And then with this, they've added in the weather. Again, I wonder if Just Cause has to go away for a bit now, because every few years at Christmas now, they put out like 3, then 4. And I just think, like, I haven't played it, so I will have by the time people hear it. I just wonder what do they do now? Like, it's a weird release date, almost like it felt like, let's do it at the same time we did Just Cause 3, but Yeah, as I say, the fanfare feels low.
I think it's going to suffer for releasing this late. And it's a shame because it's genuinely one that I think people will love.
But again, like, I wonder why now, because obviously pre-release we got all the info about the game for the, with the embargo stuff and all that, and the game, they were very clear about, you know, there are some elements of the game that we are still working on and they'll be patched, and it was. You had some issues which, you know, we can never know if they're related to your...
The thing about PC gaming
is you never know if it's your setup or the game.
It's always a bit difficult. I mean, because I tried various things pre-release. And, like, I still got crashes, but... Again, let's say, I don't know whether that's because it was pre-release, whether it was just a compatibility issue or what. So it's, you know, I had to mention it in the review, but it also has to be said that it's not 100% that it was the game's fault. So it's kind of swings and roundabouts.
But again, the same sort of thing happened with Just Cause 3. Like, PC code was all that was available. I covered it at the time. My PC wouldn't run Just Cause 4 now, I don't think. We've only got console codes at the time of recording, literally today. So, you know, it's downloading in the background as I speak. We're going to have a look at the console version, because I do feel like, while, like, the PC community can obviously, like, mod this game and do wild shit with it, I do feel like it's a game to sit on the sofa and chill with. And in that respect... I want to know if 4 has... Because the thing that I felt 3 needed was it needed to play better. And by that, I mean perform better. Like, it was like it had a massively long loading screen on PC, and on Xbox and PS4, that was worse. But it also wasn't technically amazing. And now we're into the part where we've got Xbox One X and PS4 Pro. I'm kind of hoping I'm going to boot this up and it's going to not just look amazing, but actually perform well. You know what I mean? Because the Xbox One X is where I'm going to be playing. It should, you know.
Yeah, I mean, what I would say, like, I know I did have some issues with the PC version, but its loading wasn't particularly long. And the way it loads is it kind of loads up into the main title screen. And as soon as you press continue, you dropped straight into the game. It's like it loads up the game as well as the title screen.
Three sort of did something like that as well. Yeah. That's what made it feel a bit odd.
And it looks, it looks great. And, like,
yeah, that's the thing. I'm hoping that the Xbox One X can deliver. Because, you know, we had the similar issue with Darksiders in that, you know, I was stunned. I think, I can't remember if I said this on the pod. I had a lot to say about Darksiders last week. I can't remember if I said this, but I remember seeing your PC footage, and Mick Fraser was playing the game on PS4 as well, and I sent him the footage that you sent me, and we were both like, wow, okay. Yeah, don't get me wrong, I wasn't looking at going, oh, wow, this is better looking than Red Dead, this is better than God of War. Of course it isn't, no one's saying that, but the difference was quite startling, and obviously you've since now... played that on Xbox One X, and obviously seen the PS4 Pro footage in the video review.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean,
it's quite a surprise.
Yeah, I mean, you know? I still stand by. Like, I still think Darksiders 3 is a brilliant game.
Hey, but, I'm not. You know, that's fine.
Yeah, I know. I don't think we'll ever see eye to eye.
We're never going to agree on that game, though. No.
But I can see why some people had issues with their, because they were reviewing console code, and it's like,
you can certainly see why PC code was given first, can't
yes because I mean let's say my PC is not like the greatest you'll ever see, but
no, you're not like running the latest GPU or anything.
No,
you
know? But it's
a good PC.
It's still a very good PC, and I was getting, well, like you saw, it's more or less like 60 frames a second, and it looked really
that's
nice.
Right.
All the posts,
and you can see that I'm not even getting a full 30 most of the time on PS4 Pro.
And that's the thing. It was the same with the X when I was playing
that's
that.
That's disappointing.
Yeah, and it's like, it's weird that, I mean, we kind of discussed this in our Slack channel, but it's like I was surprised that even in 4K it looked worse than my 1080p PC because of
there's a problem
it's kind
with
of
the
missing some of the post-processing.
It definitely is. Like, I mean, you can see it most notably around her hair.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping, to loop back to Just Cause a bit, I'm hoping this isn't a trend with third-party games, because it's happened a bit recently with like PC code for us early and then console a bit later. Like, it won't be under embargo when this goes out. So, like, Mutant Year Zero is a game Mick Fraser's reviewing. You've played a bit on PC, and again, that's a game where the console code was like release date or just before it is actually.
Yeah.
And again, it's like, okay, sure. And there's lots of different reasons that can be the case. I feel like I feel like we should be past worrying, and I feel like all of a sudden I'm worrying when I had stopped for a very long time.
Yeah.
Which is, again, I mean, listen, literally, you probably check my Twitter and I will have said something, or in our, if you're a Patreon supporter, I'll go to Discord and I'll update people. We'll see. You know what I mean? It's, yeah. I am still looking forward to it. Everything you said, kind of. I am a bit worried about the large world, because...
Yeah. It's I'll be honest, I say it's, you know, it feels a bit too big, but a lot of the time you don't feel it while you're playing. It's just
I know, but I'm just not, I'm worried. I don't know if I've got another big open world in me this year.
Yeah.
Because I kind of, if I have, I'd sort of like to play a bit more Odyssey.
Yeah, that's the thing. I need to go back to that. I've not played that for, what, about a month and a half now? And
yeah,
I want to go back to it. And
same. It has
like,
something.
I've got to start Red Dead 2 yet. And that one I know is just a monster. So
let's get into this, right? I'm not going to go on and on about Red Dead 2 because we have a Game of the Year podcast that's going to... listen, whether it gets in the top 10 or not, whether it wins individual awards, there's going to be Red Dead 2 talk on that podcast.
There's no getting around that.
No, and we said it, I think we said it last year, like there's going to be... We actually said last year, that's going to be number one on everyone's list. I'm not sure that's the case anymore. So, yes, there are games coming out. There are still actually a few reviews in progress, like biggies, big titles that I can't talk about yet that we're in the middle of. Again, by the time this comes out, they'll be nearly out, you know, smashing. Oh, that's terrible. But, you know, I have taken the interesting decision of, rather than going back to Assassin's Creed Odyssey, rather than playing any number of games I haven't finished, like The Messenger, I've taken the decision to start Red Dead Redemption 2 again, this time on Xbox One X. And
is there a big difference in the visuals?
Yes, there is. Yeah, there is. So... there is a big difference, but from speaking to other people, the only time it's the big difference actually matters or is shown is if you're playing in 4K.
Right.
Because there is an issue, I think, with the PS4 Pro version where the 4K is kind of... I'm not even going to pretend to know the technical aspects here. I can't remember. But it's something to do with the... It looks incredible on Xbox One X. And listen, fanboy trousers, take them off and listen with open ears and open hearts. I know that Red Dead PS4 will improve this, but it is quite nice to be able to play Red Dead Redemption 2 and hear the game without wearing headphones.
Yeah.
It happened with God of War. It happened with Detroit as well on PS4. I had to play those games with headphones. It's annoying. I'm sorry. It's annoying.
Yeah. This game, I really want to play this game now.
It looks amazing. Here's the interesting thing, right? This is something I wasn't expecting. Starting the game again, but knowing all the mechanics, all the game's weird proclivities in terms of how it controls, and everyone's talked about this to death, but knowing all about that, knowing it ahead of time, I feel like I'm actually somehow enjoying the game even more, and I loved it the first time around. Yeah. I'm not going to say it is without fault, but knowing all its control issues, knowing how it plays, I feel like I have complete control over Arthur. Whereas there's a lengthy, like people talk, like I've had people ask questions like how far am I, you know, and I'm in chapter 2, and it's like, oh my god, you're nowhere, you're still in tutorial town. I'm in chapter 3, and then it's still like, well, okay, but how much open world stuff did you do in 2? Oh, none. Okay, you probably are nowhere. It's an odd game in that it's uniquely engaging in its open world, and that you start thinking, I'm going to go and do that mission. And the second time around, I thought, look, I can do what I want now. I know the story, I know everything. But I'm finding things I didn't find in the playthrough. Like, I kind of find myself wishing they'd given us code for that game like a month early.
Yeah.
Because I'm discovering entire segments that, you know, all right, largely they're inconsequential. They don't matter. They don't change if the game's good or not, but they are interesting, and I just missed them. And
yeah.
I don't know. I find that really weird that they made this game. Like, I don't know.
To be fair, I mean, I had a similar experience, like when I restarted Witcher 3 on X,
right,
on the Xbox One X, like after originally playing it through and the DLC
on my list one
PS4.
Day as well.
Yeah, and it's like I played something on it. I found a mission that I'd never even seen from like putting what, 120 hours or something into the PS4 version.
Yeah.
And then I come back, and within, like, what, 7 or 8 hours, it's like, here's this mission that you completely missed before.
And it's, yeah, and that's what I'm getting.
Yeah, it's I can see how that can happen. Like, so yeah. Even if we say we did get the code for Red Dead a month early, you probably would still find yourself finding things that you'd missed. Entirely.
So the other thing I found interesting is, like, so for example, in Red Dead, if you hold down left bumper or L1, it brings up your weapon wheel, where you can then switch to an item wheel or whatever. You know, I'm sure people have seen videos or played it. In the tutorial, well, in chapter one, where it's very much set up, I still think that setup is slow, too slow, I think. But it also sets out its stall, I think, in that first chapter of, like, this is what we are. If you, I would say get to chapter two, because it does speed up a bit. But chapter one sets out how slow it can be. And it's important, because it's like, look, if you ain't going to be down with this, check out. Or at least check out after a little bit of chapter two. Yeah, but what I found interesting is that you cannot, even though I knew left bumper brings up the weapon wheel, there is a section in that game, it won't let you until it's told you, by the way, you can do this. And I thought that was really interesting. It's an interesting game design choice that even if you know how to do something, you can't do it because you've not been shown how to do it in terms of the story and context. And that's,
I feel like I've
weird,
seen that before, and it was a similar thing where I'd replayed it and I was like, hang on, why can't I not do it? It's like, oh, right.
Yeah, why can't
I do this
now?
The tutorial hasn't told you about that yet.
And it's a bit weird, but I will say, like, people, I would genuinely hope that by now, after the amount of years and episodes of this podcast, whether you only listen to this podcast or you go to our channels and, you know, youtube.com/godasagig if you're a Patreon supporter, patreon.com/godasagig if you just read the website and listen to the podcast, whatever, I'd hope by now I've earned people's trust that I am not a fanboy. Like, I just want to play the game in its best state. And I am quite shocked by how significantly better this looks on X compared to Pro. And that's not always the case. You know, like, it's well known that, like, Tekken 7 looks like, well, I don't want to say it looks like arse, but doesn't look as good as it does on Pro. It's, you know, horses for courses sort of thing. But I'm taken aback by how much better it looks in 4K. I think the frame rate's better as well. I've seen no hitching, whereas I did have some in... Again, and in fairness also, I was playing it pre-release. There's patches been and gone since. Yeah. You know, they've added the whole up and line. So, that, you know, it might be like that now. But, like, there's a weird shimmering effect around a lot of the game on PS4 Pro. Like, if you brush your horse to clean it, that's not there on X. And it bugged me the whole time playing on PS4 Pro. It bugged me that all the time. It's like, why is that weird shimmering effect? Like, again, I don't know what part of the post-processing. It could be anti-aliasing. I don't know. But, again,
yeah, I mean, I'm
going to keep playing it, mad. And that's mad, but I'm going to probably play Red Dead 2 to completion again. That's mental.
Yeah, I'm kind of glad. Because, like, initially I was going to get the PS4 version because a lot of my friends were getting the PS4. The people I played the original with online, it's like, I was going to do it so I could play it with them. But the more I'd heard about the PS4 version and how good the Xbox One version was, I was kind of like, if I'm getting it, I kind of have to apologise to my friends and say I'm going to want to play the X version.
I mean, it's a substantially lengthy game. I don't know what PS4 Pro you've got, but this is a totally kind of first world problem thing to say, and I know that, so please don't think I've been an arsehole. I'm self-aware enough, but it does hamper my enjoyment of a game if I have to wear headphones, because I kind of I just want to sit on my ass, put my feet up and play the game. And that Hitman video I did for the site of the Elusive Target, Sean Bean one, like, you can hear my PS4 in that. I did try and sort that out, but it was so intrusive to the record. And I'm not next... Well, the PS4 Pro is probably a meter to my left and a meter and a half down. You know, it's on the bottom shelf of my entertainment unit, and I'm sat at a desk to the side of that.
Yeah.
Like, it is...
I'm
gonna one day, or we'll, as a site, write like a things we want from next gen consoles. And if you have to make your PS5 the size of a telly to keep it quiet, that's fine. I don't want to hear my console over my telly. Like,
yeah, it's
silly as it sounds.
That is a thing. It's like, as much as I like the PS4 Pro, and mine is a lot quieter, because, like, mine was.
Yeah,
it's not,
I mean, this is a launch one.
Yeah, it's not like the newest, like the Red Dead one or anything like that. It was kind of I want to say it was like June, July when I got it. So it was it's not that long ago, and it is quiet. But there are times, you know, you can hear. But it's, I think it's, if I remember right, there's two types of fan and it's like the launch ones had the jet engine basically, and the ones now, they don't go quite as high pitch, so you it's a lot less intrusive.
See, I've got quite sensitive hearing as well, so it actually does give me a headache sometimes. That's another reason I have, because I could put subtitles on and not wear headphones, but it actually does give me a headache. I don't want to moan about the PS4 Pro anymore. I just it's such a silly little thing, but with the Xbox One X being the more powerful console, like multi-format games, as long as I know they're not worse on Xbox, I'm leaning that way now, because I want the best possible console experience.
I've gone that way.
I think a few people are.
Yeah, I was telling me he's playing more on Xbox.
Yeah, same. It was, and to be honest with you, publishers in terms of sending review copies out, it is still very much PS4.
Yeah.
In the same way that last gen, it was very much 360. Which does mean that the next gen console war is going to be really interesting. But yeah, I won't talk about Red Dead anymore, because like, you're going to hear lots of Red Dead over the next couple of weeks. I'm also excited because Nicola couldn't be here this week, but it's kind of good in a way, because she'll be on. Well, we basically want to hear her talk about God of War. She started it, and I'm dying to hear what she thinks of that game, because she's not like a God of War stalwart of the series.
Yeah,
and there are moments in that game which, again, we're going to talk about and probably spoil in the God of War, the Game of the Year podcasts. I really want to know if those moments play in the same way they did for you or I.
Yeah, I suspect the particular one that I think you're referring to, I think that one probably will be a bit dulled, but
only a little.
Yeah, but I still think it'll still be cool.
Listen, we can't allude to something we can't talk about. That coming soon, Game of the Year podcasts.
It's a teaser,
but all goes well, everything works out as it should. Patreon supporters will get those early. We're trusting people again to not spoil that stuff, because it's my favourite podcast to do it every... Well, podcasts to do every year. I look forward to them. Every year it's a massive hassle to organise, but I'll go through it again because I love it. Speaking of things I love, I'm playing Pokemon Go again quite a lot. The Pokemon bug has bitten me, and I even had a raid battle today, which I actually successfully won on my own, so it couldn't have been a very hard one. But Niantic have finally announced trainer battles for Pokemon Go. We're into the news, by the way, Gaz. Sorry, I should have mentioned the news part. We don't have a jingle, but, you know. Pokemon Go hasn't gone away. I know a lot of people have stopped playing it, but I've gone back to it, and there's Pokemon in there I don't even know. Trainer battles are coming soon. There will be 3 trainer battle leagues with different CP combat power limits. The Master League will have no CP limit. More details will be revealed soon. They sort of teased it by just putting a picture of a trainer with an exclamation mark on the head, like, hey, what's this thing? I'm going to guess you're not still playing it.
I've never played it. I'm not a Pokemon person. I must admit, I am intrigued at some point maybe to try out the Switch game.
Yeah.
Because it does look like it's quite a lot of fun. And I think it might help someone like me going in with the original Pokemon and not the, hundreds of...
Yeah, like, 300 plus, you know, 500 plus, whatever.
Well, that's it, because, some of them, I have seen them and that, and I'm like, they just gave up, didn't they? It's like, they, you know, the designs and stuff, they just...
Trash can ones,
yeah, they just really gave up. But, yeah, going in when it's... Is it 151? Something like that?
Yeah.
That might be a little bit less.
The thing about Pokemon Let's Go is it's a weird game. I'm glad I didn't review it, because it's on the surface. Terrific game. Really, really brilliantly done. Well done. I love the changes they've made. I actually do think that they're a positive change. I like it. I like the non-random battles and stuff.
Yeah.
Thing is, like all Pokemon games, as much as I would rate them similarly to Chris, I still think they're too easy. But I don't know what they do about that, because... They're obviously designed for kids, but adults love them too, like Haribo. You know, they're the Haribo of gaming. But they are so easy.
It is a difficult one, isn't it? They could put difficulty selection in, but I imagine that would lengthen the development even more, because there'd be a lot of stuff that they'd have to balance. But then again, stuff like The Witcher did it, so. I don't know, it's possible.
I don't know, it's doable.
But then, I suppose if you're doing stuff where you're able to trade with other people and things like that.
True.
You know, I suppose it's the old Dark Souls thing, you know, it's like you could put a difficulty in it, but if you do, there's so many different things that'll have to change because of it. So it's like, it's a tough one. And for someone much more intelligent than me to figure out.
Well, to speak of things where lots of different things can happen, Life is Strange 2, episode 2 is going to be properly revealed next month. The second episode being given a release window. January 2019 is what they've said. I need to get this episode 1 played. I really do. I've had it on my PS4 for when did it come out? Months ago at this point, wasn't it?
Was it around E3 time?
It was September. Just after E3? No, that was
that was the prequel, and then it did the prequel. Yes, sorry.
Yeah, September 27th it came out, and I still haven't played it, and I want to because I love the game, but I just... I think I heard that it was longer, and it's like I can sit down and go, I'm going to play 2 hours of this game. I've heard it's like more like 4, and if I'm wrong, tell me, but I can't.
I'd love to tell you, but... Again,
I don't want to play a
story-based
game
that,
in
me.
Two sittings like this, but I also don't want to spend 4 hours on one.
Yeah, it's like you want to... the episodic games are the kind of things where you want to sit and play the episode in one go. Like you sit and watching an episode
TV,
of whatever for, an hour or whatever. So, if it's 4 hours... I mean, it's great that, you're getting more content, but at the same time, it's... Mm-hmm. Is it too long?
Digestible.
Yeah.
Two more bits of news this week. Pinch of salt time. Don't take this as the death knell, because digital sales are definitely on the rise. Physical are definitely
on
the fall.
Absolutely.
That said, Darksiders 3 entered the charts in the UK at 32.
It is very low. I think that even with digital, I think that's still probably going to be... mid to late 20s.
I mean, let me give you a quick top 10 for this current week. Number one is often this. It's FIFA 19. Number two, Red Dead Redemption 2. Number three, Black Ops 4, Call of Duty. Number four, Battlefield 5, or V, or whatever. Number five, Forza Horizon 4. Pleasantly surprised to see that there. Number six, Spyro Reignited Trilogy. Number seven, Pokemon Let's Go Pikachu. Number eight, Assassin's Creed Odyssey. Number nine, Mario Kart 8 Deluxe. I think that is due to the bundles, the Switch bundles that sold really well. And number 10, Fortnite Deep Freeze Edition, which... whatever. Darksiders...
It does sound like... Because I know Nordic, or THQ Nordic,
Nordic, please, yes.
Yeah,
please.
Sorry. They did say, we're still happy with the game and all, all this. But I suppose, is that the equivalent of the board vote of confidence for a football manager? It's I want Darksiders 3 or Darksiders to get another sequel, I suppose.
Well, to say you want Darksiders 4.
Yeah. If nothing else, I think they should at least get the chance to finish the story.
I'll say this, right? I'm not sure about the marketing for that game, because I didn't know... I consider myself, and I think you would do the same of yourself, and I'd be honest with you, I'd say this of all of our team, I consider myself pretty on the button with the world of gaming. I didn't know there was a massive special edition of this game with all those statues until the embargo on the game lifted and the publisher was retweeting videos of influencers showing it off. And I didn't know that existed, and I looked at it and I was like, you know what, I'm not into my special editions, and I know that one would have been out of my price range, but I tell you what, I'd like them statues, Gaz.
I did know about it, but by virtue of working in that field, I thought it was...
You know how much it is, that out of interest?
Was it 350, I think it was?
That's too much. Sorry, that's about 250 quid too much.
One of the things about it was like, I love the series, as you know, and if I had that kind of disposable income, I'd be very lucky. Yeah, but if I did,
I would
absolutely get that, even though I'm not really a special edition person anymore. But
it was one of those. It was one of those guys. Like, I'll be honest with you, it's not often I see these, and I was like, oh god, I wish the PR had sent us that.
Yeah,
that one. I was like, god damn it, motherfuckers. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Again, the weird thing was, it's kind of like for a game series that was essentially dead. Was never going to set it was never going to set the charts alight.
Yep.
A big collector's edition of that price just seemed a bit daft. By all means, release, one that's like 100 quid or whatever with one statue. okay, you know, but...
Well, I mean, what I'm saying is I think it's better than the Fallout 76 stuff, but we haven't even talked about that. I don't know if you want to...
I mean, yeah, I mean, sorry, I suppose just briefly, I mean, the bag was shit, basically, that came with it. I mean, I'll be honest.
But have you seen the plots thickened that they actually gave the genuine... So what was it? It ended up being nylon, but it was supposed to be...
I'll
Google this Fallout 76 bag. Yeah. I'll Google this bag gate.
I mean, just to kind of...
Canvas. It's supposed to be a canvas bag, and the people who spent $200 on the game with this were sent a nylon bag, but the plot has thickened because apparently influencers were given this collector's edition, and it was the actual canvas bag, not a nylon one.
Ooh, that's bad. I mean, I've actually seen one of these things, like, in the flesh kind of thing, with, like, and it was cheap. It looked cheap. It felt cheap.
They say, we are sorry. Well, it's nylon.
No, I mean,
we're sorry
that
you aren't happy with the bag.
The helmet itself was...
All right.
It was... I mean, I know, obviously, it was going to be lighter because you were supposed to be able to wear it, but it felt it felt like a kid's toy that you'd spend, like, a few quid on. It wasn't good.
Yeah,
considering
the
price,
the bag the influencer's got, and you can clearly see it's a canvas bag.
Oh wow! But you know, you can get a $3.99 atoms.
500 atoms, which translates to $5.
Yep.
And obviously doesn't cost Bethesda anything because it's a digital unlock, isn't it?
Yeah, it's not good.
I'll say this, and I think others have said it before, and I'll continue to say it. Don't pre-order games. Don't pre-order them.
Yeah.
You know, the games are available digitally. They're not going to go out of stock. I know sometimes it's tempting because it's like, oh, I really want this version. Don't pre-order games. I'm not even saying us. I would like you to trust us. I trust all of our critics. You know, like Gary and I don't agree on Darksiders 3, but I trust that his opinion is the truth. You know, find critics you align with. Trust them.
Yeah.
And in a case of a game like... So we're one of very few to have a Just Cause review because a lot of people don't want to review games on PC. They review them on console. So there's not as much of a review spread. Our review is around about, you know, it's between 6.5 and 8.5. I've even seen a 10 for that game. Trust the critics that you trust and wait to find out. What, you know, people like God is a Geek, people like us, we know that they, you know, you listeners cannot afford every single game that comes out every week,
especially not this year, the amount of bloody games that have come out
in the last couple of months. But please don't pre-order again. The only way that the publishers will learn is if people stop giving them money.
Yeah,
like I'm not picking on Bethesda. I mean, generally, don't pre-order games.
Although, you know, Resident Evil 2,
well, finally this week, Resident Evil 2. This is not much of a. This isn't much news, but I just wanted to mention Resident Evil 2 because even when this is live to everyone, hey, we'll have some more Resident Evil 2 stuff. Can't tell you what it is. Can't tell you what it. I will say I've seen the video of the game that Chris captured. He played a lot of the game. So much of the game that the words I am seethingly jealous. Oh my god, this game cannot. I'm just like you tweeted, Gaz, and I couldn't agree more. We can finally say Resident Evil 2 Remake is out next month, and it's apparently on Xbox One 21 gigabytes.
That's fairly small, to be honest, by some of today's standards.
But the thing is, I don't know how much stock you can put in these things nowadays because. Aren't games different size depending on which console you're downloading? So, like, if you download a game on Xbox One S, and I remember State of Decay 2 being different because Nicola downloaded it and it was X amount. I downloaded it on my Xbox One X and it was like 10 gig more.
Yeah,
and I think Sea of Thieves was the same. Like, it. But you know, it's going to be around about that. I just wanted to use this as an opportunity to say, hey, look on our YouTube channel because, like. No comment. Do you know what I mean?
I don't think I could get any more excited about this game. This is like
I don't want to know any more.
I've almost
resented watching this.
Yeah, I've seen some of the stuff because they released a few bits. Capcom released a few bits, didn't they, recently? Yeah. And I deliberately didn't watch any, but obviously a couple of bits have been just like you can't help but see him because someone's put up like a gif or whatever on Twitter, and I'm just like, oh good god, stop it. You know, it's oh, I cannot wait.
It just needs to, it's one of those games a bit like it doesn't happen in the industry much now, right? But for a while, when we got to this kind of time in last gen where games were coming, code was earlier because people had their shit together. It's the kind of game we'd have got a debug build of like now, and it's like the embargo's January, but of course we know how mad it is, and it's like I long for that time. It's not gonna happen. It's not gonna happen. But I think the game's done. I think it's just like, this is when we're releasing. It's like, yeah, but you can give it to us early. We'll sign anything. Anyway, listener correspondence. I'm going to start with Dane, who asks, how often do you buy or play DLC? He says, for him, it's very rare because it often comes a few months after release when I'm no longer playing it, or it simply doesn't feel substantial enough to demand a purchase. Does anyone else feel the same way? I think that's interesting because the whole point, I feel, of DLC is to get you playing the game again.
Yeah.
But the fact he's saying it comes too late... So the only one I can think of, Gaz, this year, Spider-Man.
Yeah, I got Spider-Man this year. I'm trying to think of others.
I don't know that I'm in love with that DLC.
No, I've not played the second episode yet.
But that's maybe telling.
Yeah, it's
it?
Like I can't decide whether to play it, you know, at some point. So I'll wait till the third episode comes out and just play them both
just
together. Just get it. But it's it felt very much like cut content. You know,
and I think that's a larger indictment. That's a larger problem. A lot of the DLC now. I mean, don't get me wrong. It's nice that we're away from the, oh, it's different colours for my horse. You know, at least it is content. But I feel like a lot of it feels, like you say, like it. I don't know.
I think it largely depends on the game as well. Because, like, I mean, a lot of the times I don't buy DLC till I've at least finished the main game. Because I just. You know, you want to play through what you've got first. But that was one, like, again, I've mentioned The Witcher a few times, but that was one where I was like, I finished the game and was like, I'm buying the DLC now. You know, and I think it was not long before the second one came out as well, so I could play through that first DLC and then play the second as well. So it's nicely timed, but... Yeah,
but like Assassin's Creed Odyssey's got DLC coming soon, and I'm just looking at like having a laugh, aren't you?
Yeah, I think it's out, isn't it?
I'm not entirely sure. I remember we were invited to go and play it, and we couldn't make it, and I just remember thinking at the time, like, I'm not the man to go play this because like I'm about 8 hours in.
Yeah, it's.
I can think of Zelda and Mario Kart. I've definitely played the DLC of that was last year, obviously. Splatoon. You know what? Splatoon's DLC was excellent. The Octopath expansion thing. No, not Octopath. Octo expansion, that was really good. I played this year.
I think we're kind of in a weird place now as well, because if you think how often games are getting free content, you know, like Sea of Thieves is a big example, you know, how much content that's had over this, I mean, what was it, March it came out? And how much content has been added since then, and it's all been free. And, you know, you've got other games that are doing that now, and... It's less about having to buy DLC now, but again, it depends on when it's released, and again, like how much you enjoy the base game. Because the thing I've had, obviously, like working in like games retail, is like when you're like, oh, you've got to sell your season passes with the game. It's like nobody wants a season pass when a game comes out because they want to play the game first.
Yep.
You know, because I mean, some people will because it's like it's a series they love or something like that, and it's, you know, it's like the new sequel. But a lot of the time, it's like, I don't know if this game's actually going to be good, or at least if it's going to be good enough for me to keep playing beyond like the 20 hours or whatever the length the game is. I suppose for me, I will be getting for the Forza DLC. That's out like next week, I think it is. I mean, to be fair,
I didn't need to think about that.
I've only just thought about it. I'd realised, I was like, shit, you know, Forza's
soon.
Because I need, but I mean, I suppose in a way that's actually a good thing because people are still playing it.
Yeah, but this is a game I've been meaning to go back to anyway.
Yeah, I mean, I guess something like Forza is different anyway, because it's not like you've got to go back and relearn how to play it, because it's a racing game, you know how to play it. It's riding a bike, you know how to do it if you go back.
But I think, like, back to his original kind of question, is how often do you buy and play it? I only do that if it's a game I really love. Like, I would happily pay for some God of War DLC, which I thought we'd actually be getting an announcement of, but I'm starting to wonder if that's ever going to happen.
I don't think they are, you know.
No, unless there's one of those areas where it's like, this will never be accessible. And even when I was playing it pre-release, I was like, that's going to be the DLC section.
Unless
I don't know now.
You've got the Game Award thing, haven't you? This VGA.
Well, that's true.
You never know.
We'll answer this. You have one and I'll have one is the way I'll say this, and I don't know that we need to talk too much about it. David Ayers, everyone on Discord and our Patreon, says, I'm going a bit dark here, so sorry. What's the worst way to die, Gary? You say yours and I'll say mine. We'll just do one, because I can think of two ways.
I can think of two. I'll go with burning alive.
Oh, wow, okay. That was not one of my two. I mean, don't get me wrong.
Yeah, that sounds awful.
It
just seems like it'd be a very horrible, painful way to go.
Oh, absolutely. But I was, knowing that you have thalassophobia?
Thalassophobia, yeah.
The fear of the deep waters, I thought you were going to say drowning.
I mean, it's a nasty... I think on a personal level, it'd be a horrible way to go, but I think... That's not the worst way to go.
I've maybe interpreted in my own head that he's asking them what we think. I mean, the idea of your lungs slowly filling with water is...
I gather it's a very extreme, painful way to go.
Mind you, actually, I've read that it's not. Now I think about it, I've read that actually just going in, just walking into the water, it's quite quick and peaceful, but I can't imagine it is. That sounds like bollocks, but the one I'd go for personally... I think he's buried alive.
That's another very horrible.
It's a bit rote, but like the idea of, you know, people think you're dead, so they put you in a coffin and bury you, but then you wake up and you're like, yeah, it's Kill Bill.
Yeah, because there's no way out.
And that is terrifying because you'll panic, which means you'll lose your oxygen quicker, and like, you know, just an awful. Awful way to die. And having been in that car crash this week, not these things, but it has occurred to me how lucky I am to be walking around and be fine. Things could have been so much worse. It's maybe questioned fate, and because like if I'd literally left the house 10 seconds later, probably wouldn't have been in the accident. One of those weird things.
Thanks, let's David. Thanks for that one. It's a lovely question.
Hey, listen, he apologised in advance.
Yeah, he did.
McPoo, also on Discord, says, Bioshock Infinite is the best Bioshock. Discuss. There's not much to discuss. I agree.
I'm in two minds because it's like it is between that and the first one. They were both brilliant. I think maybe in gameplay terms, the first one might have been slightly better, but the story in Infinite was better. So I suppose it's kind of like it's whichever way you lean is. But I mean, there was that moment when. She asks, you know, are you afraid of God? And he says, no, but I'm afraid of you. It's like that is a line that will stay with me. It's a game I need to replay, actually. I only ever played it through once.
I've been thinking about that for a long time, Bioshock Collection. Yeah,
again, I think, to be honest, that kind of is quite telling, that I've only played it the once and I still remember a lot of it, quite vividly.
I mean, honestly, I think the first one, just because of its impact at the time, is probably the best, but I think actually Infinite is the one that's stuck with me the most because of the music cues.
Right.
Another very last question, Andrew Knowles, Andrew Knowles 10 on Twitter, says, has there ever been a better game released in any format since Championship Manager 4? I'm not going to argue with you, Andrew, therefore I'm just going to give you the answer that you want. No, of course not. That's the best game ever. There have been no games since that ever released. Gary agrees. I'm going to say that on his behalf.
I do, to be honest, weirdly enough, Championship Manager was the reason me and my brother bought the original Xbox.
Right.
Because like at the time, like I'm not really a football person anymore, but at the time I was, and he was, and we pooled our money together and bought the Xbox for that. Because we had a PC at the time, but it was shite, so... Championship Manager wouldn't run very well on it. But yeah, the amount of time we put into that was just ridiculous.
Indeed. Well, that is a podcast for this week. Thank you very much to Gary for being here, as always. He's at BlueFury47 on the old Twitter there.
On the Twitters.
On the Twitters, yeah. Bear with us a little bit. We're not purposely doing two-man podcasts. It's just a case of we are so busy this time of year. Like, a lot of people are winding down, and it's like, yeah, the end of the year, blah, blah. We've done it. The last few games are coming in. We're getting them knocked out, and then we're going on our 3 weeks off. Unfortunately, this is like the busiest time of the year for me personally, for many reasons,
yeah.
A lot of which is organisational and editing behind the scenes. Bit boring to hear on a podcast, but like, bear with us. We've given you a podcast every Wednesday for the entire year, which is something I set out to do at the start of the year, and we've achieved that, and I'm very pleased and proud of that. And much of that's thanks to the likes of Gary being available to do it. It's a big time constraint, you know, like at least an hour every week, really. But bear with us, we're going to get there. You're going to get the Game of the Year content. I've got one other thing planned that I'm not going to say anything about here because, one, I hope I can pull it off. I think it's going to be a bit slapdash. Two, I want all the guys, of Gary, the likes of Nicola, the likes of Chris, the likes of Adam, to have no idea what it is going in, to be completely blind to it.
I am intrigued by this, I really am.
It might fall flat on its arse if it's... Hopefully it doesn't, and it'll be the last podcast of 2018 for us. But again, no promises. It's a thing I have been trying to do for about 6 years, and this year I was like, you know what, I'm going to just throw this shit at the wall and see what sticks. Hopefully it's fun. If it works out, maybe we can do it more often. It's something I've had the idea for like I say, 6 years, maybe longer. You know, we'll see. That is it for the podcast. I'm at GBSF on Twitter. At God is a Geek is our Twitter account. Do rate, review us, and subscribe via iTunes because that helps our visibility. Other people see us. If you've enjoyed this enough and you've had a browse around the site, gone to YouTube, you know, godisageek.com, youtube.com/godisageek, facebook.com/godisageek. If you've had a look around our stuff and you like what we do, patreon.com/godisageek. That gives you, for $1 a month, gives you exclusive access, early access, longer access. That's patreon.com, patreon.com/godisageek. And that support keeps us going. It sustains, content that you're going to see, all sorts of content that you're going to see. It basically sustains us. Gary, once again, thank you very much.
And thank you.
And to all of you listening, we will speak to you next week or whenever you choose to listen. Bye-bye for now.